Hello and welcome to the Fast Asleep Podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today we preview the Spanish GP and talk about Red Bull's engine situation. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Fergal. Hello everyone to episode 88 of the Fastest Lap podcast. And to start off, I want to invite you to join our F1 Fantasy League if you haven't heard of it yet. It is an official F1 game where you can pick teams and drivers prior to race weekend and get points according to their performances. So if you want to see how your prediction skills are compared to mine, Fergal's or other listeners, either click on the link in the podcast description or visit fantasy.formula1.com and enter the code 331963 to join our league. Now, the Spanish GP is coming up, and it seems like yesterday that Vettel and Hamilton were going wheel to wheel into turn one. And yeah, it's also the start of the European season, and many teams promised huge upgrades to their cars. Do you expect any shake-up of the order, Fergal?
I mean, it's very difficult to judge how effective these upgrades will be. You know, Spain is normally the time where teams bring their biggest upgrades, their biggest upgrades of the season so far. And yeah, I mean, we'll see what comes out of it. I think McLaren have been making a lot of noise about their upgrades, but
a whole new front of the car, right?
Yeah, I think it's just better for McLaren just to not just to go about silently with their business, to not raise expectations, because, you know, for their own good. But yeah, I mean, we'll see just how
it's like we're back in the Honda days where they announced I think it was Honda back then when they announced like, oh, now our engine is just as good as Mercedes and so on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just better just for them just to get along with business and not sort of say things like, yes, we'll be we're, you know, Alonso was saying stuff like, we're leaving the midfield behind, we're looking at Red Bull, and yet, I mean, they haven't even gotten into Q3 yet.
Good point.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think McLaren definitely will be one team that we'll be looking out for in terms of the upgrades. And yeah, I mean, I don't know if it is going to massively reshuffle the order. But you know,
judging from previous years, I think there weren't really any massive changes, were there?
No, and I think, you know, the way that this 2018 season has gone so far, we kind of still don't really know the exact pecking order.
Yeah.
So if the upgrades are actually effective and they really benefit one team, we might naturally notice, because the season so far has been pretty crazy. Even at the front, you know, we don't really fully know if Mercedes has the best car or Ferrari has the best car. For fourth place, we don't know if Renault are there or if Haas are there. It's a bit weird, but plenty of teams, possibly all teams, will be bringing upgrades to the weekend. So I'll definitely be looking out to see what changes the teams make for the Spanish GP.
And of course, Barcelona is a track all the teams know pretty well, because, well, it's the track where winter testing is held. And
usually, but I think this year, you know, there was a lack of winter testing there.
Yeah, it was more like it was really winter testing with snow and everything going on. Yeah, you are right there. Still, we had some laps in the dry and without snow and ice and so on. And yeah, I think even back in winter testing, Ferrari looked pretty strong on that track, as well as Haas, I think. Yeah, and you would expect with a track that's hugely dependent on aerodynamics, you'd also think Red Bull should have good chances there. So the question is, where is Mercedes standing in all of that? I mean, in the last couple of years, we had, I think, Mercedes pretty much dominating that race, weren't they? 2016, they were 1-2 before the crash. 2017, Hamilton got pole, well battled with Vettel, but also Bottas was pretty good. As you said, it's so difficult to predict anything, but of course we as we do every week, who would you think are your podium places? What are your podium predictions for the Spanish GP?
It is very, very difficult. I think much more difficult than I think this year, actually. I think I say it all the time that it's very difficult to predict, but I think this year it's just
it's actually a good thing.
Oh, definitely.
to not know which of the six drivers might win the race. Absolutely loving it also in qualifying, to not know which car or which team will be on pole. It's just excellent. I mean, if you remember the last 16 to 14 back, you always knew if nothing hugely goes wrong or something chaotic, there will be a Mercedes on pole. And I think we are all very glad that's not the case at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is what we want. We want as many teams as possible fighting at the front. Two or three, even a four team would be great to have up there. But I think, overall, I still enjoyed Formula One throughout 2014 to 2016, but there definitely was so much more room for improvement, and based off what we've seen so far in 2018, it certainly does look like we're back on the rise. In terms of the podium predictions, it's so difficult to kind of judge who's going to be at the best. We've seen Mercedes has looked quick, Ferrari has looked quick, and you just kind of at this point we probably need to start accounting for things going wrong, but it's so difficult to do that. The added competition, I think when we actually eventually do get a podium prediction right, it will make the prediction a lot more sweeter, because it would have been so difficult to judge. But Mercedes looked pretty good in Baku. Of course, Bottas had that heartbreak at the end, and Hamilton took his first win. And for whatever reason, I kind of feel like Mercedes maybe might just start to come back into the fight a little bit. I know they're leading the championship and everything, but I just sort of feel like Ferrari have had a control over the championship so far. So I think maybe Hamilton could take this one. Maybe Vettel second, a close battle between them, maybe something similar to last year, or even something like we saw in Belgium last year, where they were two or three seconds the whole race, maybe something like that. And I'm gonna say maybe Kimi Raikkonen will get on the podium as well for third place. So Hamilton, Vettel and Raikkonen, I think is gonna be my podium prediction.
Interesting. I mean, you mentioned the Spa 2017. The thing is, I mean, we all know that Barcelona, Spain, it's a track where it's pretty difficult to overtake with the chicane before the main straight, and with that long right-hander, I think it's turn 9 before the back straight. In the last couple of years, it has been a bit difficult to overtake in Barcelona. Maybe not as difficult as it was in Australia, of course, but still. Let's hope for a bit of craziness again, so that we do see some more overtaking. And who knows, maybe the new Pirelli tires and the different strategies on different tires also might help a bit in terms of overtaking. So for my podium predictions, in all of the 2018 races, I went for Hamilton. I discovered last week. So I, after being right last race, I'll change that up and I'll go for Vettel in P1 because, well, I think maybe Ferrari has made another step with their European season upgrade. Then I think Bottas will follow. Maybe he really comes back from that, as you said, heartbreak in Azerbaijan. And another driver that desperately needs a comeback is Max Verstappen, and I would put him into P3. So Vettel, Bottas, Verstappen for me. And yeah, if you want to follow our predictions, you can do that on fastestlappodcast.com/stats. So yeah, anything else we need to discuss in terms of the Spanish GP? I mean, yeah. Is there any rain expected, maybe, to make it a bit more crazy?
I haven't actually looked at the weather prediction, but I mean, even at the time that we're recording this, it's still 1 week to go before the race actually gets underway, so it's maybe a bit early to read much into the weather.
I don't trust any weather forecast that's forecasting more than one day, to be honest.
Yeah, actually, I seen something on Reddit there earlier on today. The Abu Dhabi, the Al Marina Circuit in Abu Dhabi posted their, I guess, weather forecast, you could say, for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. And for the race, they had rain on it, which is... led some people to speculate that they're going to artificially saturate the track.
The sprinklers.
Yeah, which I think would cause some controversy. So if that does happen, I think we'll have plenty to discuss about that. But very difficult to know what's actually going to happen during the race, but definitely really am looking forward to it. And who knows... maybe as well for McLaren and Alonso at his home race, maybe he can finally get in there. Although, to be fair, Alonso in the races has been pulling off some really good results. It's just in qualifying. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. just been, really, really disappointing. But he's gone pretty well here in Spain, even in the McLaren Honda years. I think, was it last year or was it 2016 where he qualified P6 or P7, which was a great result for McLaren Honda. So I think if he can replicate something like that this time, it would be definitely a job well done. But I think once again, much of the focus will be on Mercedes versus Ferrari, and you know, whereabouts will Red Bull be in this? They were pretty disappointing in Baku. Even before they crashed, they were really, really struggling on their super soft tires at the start of the race. So it's going to, I think, be a very it's going to let us know, I think, a good bit more about how the pecking order looks and how the battle between Mercedes and Ferrari is shaping up.
Yes, absolutely. And before we talk a little bit more about Red Bull, maybe just to mention Fernando Alonso's race he had this weekend. He actually raced in Spa with Toyota in the WEC series, and yeah, he actually managed to win his first race there. And I saw a picture online where he had the trophy in his hands and smiling away, and yeah, you could really or you can understand him that he wanted to go away a little bit from Formula One to actually win something. And I think yeah, he earned some respect there by winning his first race, didn't he?
I think it's his first race win in motorsport since 2013.
Wow.
I think he won, was it two Grand Prix in 2013, if I can remember correctly. I'm not quite sure.
To be honest, I heard something with 2012, but I'm not sure.
He won a couple of races, I think, in 2013, didn't he? He won the 6 hours.
If you know when Alonso won his last race, please leave a comment or something.
Yeah. I think, I mean, yeah, he did win the 6 hours of Spa, but was it, you know, entirely surprising? I think, you know, the World Endurance Championship this year with Porsche now gone, they dropped out at the end of last year. Already dropped out the year before. I think the World Endurance Championship maybe has just gone a little bit downwards. There is, of course, a couple of other LMP1 teams, but they're not big factory teams like Toyota, and they don't really have the resources to build an immensely quick car, well, compared to the Toyota anyway. So I think the only real battle throughout the race was against his teammate. So
50-50 chance, and he took it.
Yeah, pretty much. And yeah, actually, I'm just looking here. He, in 2013, in Formula One, he won the Chinese and Spanish Grand Prix. The Spanish Grand Prix in 2013 was his last victory in motorsport, which is quite unbelievable.
So nearly 5 years.
Yeah, which is crazy. It's definitely, I mean, I'm not really, I know I kind of sound like I just... just disregarded Alonso's win. It definitely is a big achievement for him, and definitely sets him up. You know, I think he'll be eyeing that Le Mans victory, even though Le Mans is another a couple of months away yet. Actually, I don't even know when Le Mans is because the World Endurance Championship this year has changed up the calendar quite a bit, so I'm not really sure what's happening there. But he definitely a great weekend for him and his two teammates, Nakajima and Buemi, who people may forget also won the race. I'm happy for Alonso to see him back on the top step after so many years of painful results.
Absolutely. So, yeah, well done, Fernando Alonso. And now let's get back to Formula One a little bit to end this episode. Let's talk a little bit about the Red Bull engine situation for 2019. I mean, we had Red Bull complaining about the Renault engine for a long, long time. I mean, basically when they stopped winning championships, what they said in the media wasn't necessarily always very pleasing to Renault, but now it's basically the time where they do have another option. Renault said they want to have a decision by Red Bull by the 15th of May. So basically, as we are recording now on the 6th, let's put it 8 days away. Basically, they need to make a decision. And which one will it be? I'm a bit surprised by that deadline. Renault says they want to be hard on that deadline. They want to know whether Red Bull will race with them. On the other hand, I mean, just look back on when McLaren last year decided on racing with them. So I don't really know whether it's really the final deadline. But anyway, I mean, with having the options of racing either with Renault or Honda, imagine if you were a Christian Horner, what would you do? Would you stick with Renault or would you change to the Honda engine?
It's a very, very difficult choice, and it's something the team have to think long and hard about. On one hand, if you switch to Honda, you effectively become its works team. You know, you're going to have Toro Rosso as well. Yeah, you're going to have Toro Rosso as well, powered by Honda, who of course are the Red Bull junior team. But you know, Honda with the Red Bull chassis being much stronger than Toro Rosso, Honda will be looking for a Red Bull to produce the results. But I think, you know, the 3 years that McLaren and Honda spent together have sort of tainted Honda's reputation and have definitely sort of, I think they've sort of scared Red Bull, to consider a deal and whether it is the right opportunity. I think Honda so far this year have been, you know, they've been okay. Definitely far, far away from where they want to be, but they've been okay. And then on the other hand, if they stick with Renault, you know, they're going to have to compete against McLaren and the Renault works team. I think...
And the tricky thing there could be that they are using a different oil supplier, and Renault, talking about the Spanish GP, Renault is bringing an upgrade to their oil, which from their oil supplier, which should give them a little bit of a boost. Also McLaren, because they are using the same, but Red Bull won't have that luxury. Also something to consider.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if you just look over the last few years of Red Bull with Renault, you know what they've taken, how many, 6 victories is it?
Don't know.
Yeah, I think they've taken 6, maybe 7 victories over the last, since 2014. And yeah, compare that to 2013 where they, I think, won how many races in that season? I think they won maybe, yeah.
Too many.
I think they won 11 races, I think, Vettel yeah. taking them all. So yeah, it's definitely been a very, very disappointing period for Red Bull, and they have continuously blamed Renault for the problems. It's not a surprise now when someone from the team says, "Oh, if we had the Mercedes engine, we would be winning races." And yeah, they've been saying that for quite a while. But it is very, very interesting. We know that there was talks in Azerbaijan between Red Bull and Honda, and I think there are more advanced talks to be held in Barcelona. But I would love to hear what's going on in those meetings, because right now I really do think it could go either way. There's pros and cons with going with Honda and also with Renault. But you know, maybe in the long term future, perhaps Honda could be the best option for Red Bull. And if I had to choose right now what I think is going to happen, I think they will work up a deal with Honda.
Interesting, but I somehow do have the same feeling. I mean, just imagine we were talking about a Red Bull Honda deal at the end of 2016 or the beginning 2017. A whole different story back then. But Red Bull, I think, is in the position actually to compare both engines pretty well, because I mean they do have all the figures from the Toro Rosso team. They know the power output, they know the ERS, the recovery stats, they know some reliability stats, how much packaging or how much cooling it needs, and so on, and they know everything about the Renault engine. So I think they can, from all of the stats they know, I think they can make the right decision. So it's not like McLaren had to pick the Honda engine without really knowing anything about the engine apart from some promises from Japan. So, yeah, but as you said, I do think with Red Bull becoming a works team then with the Honda engine, I think that's what the team really needs to fight Mercedes and Ferrari. You know, they also might have some synergies between Red Bull and Toro Rosso with the Red Bull technology to provide them with the same gearboxes and engine parts. And I mean, we know that Red Bull actually helped Renault developing or the engine or the recovery system back in the days when they were really struggling. And who knows, maybe Red Bull also have some resources left to help Honda in that case. So yeah, all in all, I think it could be, as you said, it could be the right decision, and it also could be the decision from Red Bull to change to the Honda engine.
Yeah, and you know, it just is a big risk because of the of Honda's performances so far. But you know, there is a chance that they could get it right, and really throw Red Bull up there. And then you know, you got to wonder where that leaves Renault. You know, they'd be supplying two teams, McLaren and their own works, their own factory team. I don't really think they'd work up a deal anywhere else. So yeah, you'd have Honda supplying two teams, Renault supplying two teams, and then Mercedes and Ferrari both supplying three teams, which I think is a pretty nice balance throughout the field. And you know, of course, for Honda, it would work well for them having 4 cars running the engines, you know, even more data for them rather than 2. They'd have more data to work over and improve on. So yeah, definitely would be beneficial for Honda. But whether Red Bull see it as a risk worth taking, we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, we definitely have to wait and see, and also we have to wait and see how the field will spread out throughout the Spanish GP. Who will win? Who will be on pole? Well, we'll see next weekend. Until our next episode then, goodbye.
Goodbye.